Hello, listeners. Welcome back to On the Block. I'm your host, Madison McGee, and this week's guest is Scotty Salton from Big Brother 20. He is a comedy king and has a seriously incredible outlook of what it means to be on a reality TV show. He gives us a glimpse into his mind, and it's a wild ride. If you like this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would rate, review, subscribe, all of those things. Share it with a friend or tag me on social. This show is truly only possible because of you, and it has meant so much to me to be able to do this for the last 6 months, and I'm really excited for what is to come in 2022. In the meantime, here is my interview with Scotty Salton.
Can I hear you?
Yeah, can you hear me? You.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
I had like this long thing. It was like recording in progress, and it like gave me an explanation.
Oh my gosh. Well, hi. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, no problem. I hear good things.
Oh,
Rockstar
really?
Jess both like, yeah, Rockstar and Jess both said you were really good.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's fantastic. I love to hear that. Like, huge fans of all of you, to be honest. You and Rockstar had a better season than Jess, but
I think she knows that. I think she said that to me before.
Oh no. If only she had been on 1 year earlier. Gosh, well, hey, just
who does she replace though?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
That's fun to think about that kind of stuff. Like,
I mean, real like life plot twist if Jess replaced like Angela and then there was no Tangela. Like, what would the world be now?
That'd be wonderful for me. I'd love that.
Like, how isn't that weird to think about, like, if one thing changed, like how different people's like lives would be?
Tyler would be lonely. Oh man, you're just trying to take that away from him. There'd be no, what's the name of their, they have a company. I don't remember the name of it, but it wouldn't exist.
It wouldn't exist. That's kind of weird to think about. Oh, should we play this game more and do more of these?
I mean, just like alternates in general, you think of like if this person was on and this one wasn't, or they were on a different season. Cause like there were like four people from my season who were alternates for other seasons.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, that's like this year. Did you watch 23?
Not like religiously, but I'm like aware of everything that like happened and like the live feeds and like everything's on Twitter all the time.
So Claire was a replacement and like,
oh yeah.
Now she's like best friends with Tiff, dating Derek X. It's like, what would have been had like she not gone into the house? It's just so weird to think about.
So Derek X would have been lonely. Like, it's always the showman's people.
Gosh, that's wild. So you were on Big Brother 20. Obviously, like, I feel like a lot of people call that season in, like, the last recent ones, kind of excluding BB23, I guess, like, one of the best of the new age of Big Brother. So I don't know if you've heard that, but I've heard that.
People say it all the time, and I deflect like crazy because, like, I don't know what to say to that. Usually I'm just like, oh, boy. And like, that's my universal like sign. If I say, oh boy, that means I know you want me to say something. I don't know what to say.
No, it's just so, interesting like, because it's sort of like you don't know when that season is going to happen and you don't know when you're going to like be on it and you just kind of happen to be there and it's like, oh yeah, cool. Like I was part of that. Like it just, that's what it was. That's what happened.
How it feels.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Had you ever applied to be on the show before?
Yeah, I actually only applied for Big Brother 18.
Okay.
And like, I tried out. My siblings were all going to try out. My sister was the big reality TV fan, and she was like, we should all try out. I was like, cool. So like, I studied like crazy. I like figured out exactly what I wanted to say, like if whatever questions came up. And like, I had a whole formula in my head. And then like the day before, they were all my siblings like, you know what? We can't, we're not going to go. My sister was like, I got to watch my kids. And my brother was like, well, if no one else is going, I'm not going to go. So I went and they like took me to semis and like they ended up not taking me because Steve won 17 and they didn't want like the white nerdy guy back to back.
Oh, wow.
So then they called me again for OTT and 19. I really like, I wasn't super into the idea of OTT because, like, now seeing it, yeah, it was cool. But the way it was pitched, I was just kind of like, this doesn't sound like Big Brother. What is this?
Right. It was pitched as like an off-brand Big Brother, kind of.
Yeah, so I was like super, I wasn't super receptive to that. And then for 19, which is funny too, because on that season they ended up casting Scott, who was like a different, like white nerdy virgin guy. So like I don't know. I have like this whole conspiracy that was like supposed to be me. And then the same thing for
Oh.
19 is once again they're like, hey, come out to open calls for 19. But the day before the Chicago open call audition for 19, I tore a bunch of stuff in my ankle playing basketball. So like I couldn't like do it. Like I still went to the open call, but like I was gonna be out all summer. Like I couldn't walk or run on it for months. So then
Wow.
they pick Cameron, who's like this white, nerdy, like athletic guy who lives in Illinois and went to the same college as me. So I was like, hey, I
No.
wonder if that was supposed to be me too. And then I ended up
Hey,
on 20.
but he got out first.
He got screwed.
You're like, glad that was not me.
The worst, even what's even worse about that is how much time I've talked to him about it, how much time he had to spend like being sequestered in hotels and stuff. Like, because they did the battle back like a month after he got evicted. So he was in a hotel that whole time, chilling by himself. That would be
Oh
awful.
my gosh, yeah, that would be like to be sequestered like triple the time you were in the house.
That's more than, way more than triple. Because he was in the house for like a day. And he
Oh
was like sequestered for like over a month.
he
That
didn't
would
even
be
make it like a
awful.
whole week. Oh my
But to
gosh.
him, he got
Wow.
screwed.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Well, that's so interesting. So you kind of went through the pro you'd gone through the process before, obviously had some things happen where it didn't work out for you, and then you
It
got on the
worked out,
show.
man. I'll
I
take
guess
20 over being on 19.
it's true. Yeah, that's a good story of like the universe like giving you what you need, not what you want.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Because
interesting.
that would have been me,
Okay.
say,
What was your
oh, go ahead.
experience like being on 20? So, I mean, we saw like obviously you had some friendships with certain people, but were you really close with just like everybody?
No, I would say I really wasn't close with anybody. I was going solo the whole time. Once Steve was gone, I was like, crap.
Yeah. I
For
mean, I
sure.
feel like maybe that played a little in your favor. Do you think people just weren't paying attention to you because you were kind of on an island or?
No, I'm pretty sure that. So, the second week I was on the block with Winston, if that veto didn't get used, obviously I'm going. And I think week three, if I didn't win HOH, I would have been the one to go.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that I was very expendable to everybody very early in that game. I just didn't have like relationships. Like from like day one, like nobody wanted anything to do with me.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, yeah, they like the Ian and the Steve kind of stereotypes where they win. They all thought I was lying about everything. Everything that came out of my mouth was apparently a lie, no matter how like truthfully it was.
That
I
would be
never like,
so frustrating.
well, going in, I didn't want to wear my glasses day one because I had like a feeling that was going to happen. But like, it was like my character type, so like I had to wear them going in, and I kind of think that that was like the first like nail kind of in the coffin. Like I don't think I
Wow.
ever like overcame that because like everything they thought my career was a lie. They thought everything my backstory was a lie. They thought a lot about how many siblings I had. The virgin thing they thought was a lie. They even at one point said the glasses were a lie. It was like a weekly game where they would guess what I actually did for a living. It went from doctor to like NASA scientist to like MMA fighter. It went everywhere.
Oh my, were you like getting frustrated by that? Like, no, I'm telling the truth. Or were you just like, whatever they're gonna think, whatever they think?
No, after I kind of like realized that second week where I was kind of like, ah, I'm expendable, I was just kind of happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people watching were probably just kind of like, he's not trying like as hard as he probably should be. And I think that's just kind of like I was in that mode where I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool to be here. I'm gonna win if I
Yeah.
can like find a way to weasel in, but like unless I find a way to weasel in, then I'm kind of screwed.
I mean, you made it to jury, and I feel like that is for someone who, like you said, like was on the block, felt expendable, to make it all the way to jury is pretty solid, I would say.
Oh yeah, I'm happy with, like, for the most part how I did. Like, there are definitely things I could have done better. Like, I don't think it's not like all on everybody else for, like, not liking me. Like, I wasn't super diligent, and I think that was a mistake I made. Like, I'm the kind of person where, like, when I say something, I only gotta say it once, and I think I'm good. But, like, in a place like the Big Brother house, you gotta, like, not just every day, but, like, every hour, just repeat yourself over and over and over for, like, people to, like, understand that or believe you or whatever. And I didn't do that at all. I would, like, say something once and be like, I'm good. I don't got to see that person the rest of the day.
I mean, in normal world, that's how it works, right? So
Yeah, I played it a little too much like the normal world.
wow, that's so interesting. Did you go in with any sort of strategy, or were you just like, let's just see what the vibes are and then go from there?
I mean, not like a mechanical kind of strategy. It was more of like, I just wanted to see what kind of people were in the house, and then just kind of like played like their images of themselves, which was another mistake I made. I kind of like went in assuming everybody, like, their number one goal was to win. And I don't think that's the case for everybody. That was
Oh,
something I kind of like
interesting.
screwed up on. But yeah, I didn't have like a mechanical. It was more just like, I would have liked to have won the first HOH. But that was literally impossible because I didn't even get to play in it. I wanted to find a way to, like, align big target people and then just, like, sit back and let them, like, do everything. Like, I wanted to align with Swaggy because if there was ever a perfect Big Brother shield, it's Swaggy C. And I would have loved to just, like, gone as far as I could with him. And then eventually they would have gone after him, but he got ditched week two. And I was like, oh crap, I lost Steve week one. I lost Swaggy week two. I am
Dang.
screwed.
Oh yeah, that's actually really interesting. Like the
Yeah,
idea
everyone
of
I got.
shields and stuff.
Yeah, I would love playing with the shield. That would have been fantastic, but I didn't get
Yeah.
that luxury.
That's annoying. Would you go back and try again?
I don't think they're asking me back anytime soon. But, like, yeah, why not? If they ever did, like, and I could, like, physically do it, like, if I wasn't, like, old and decrepit, or, like, in a financial spot where, like, I couldn't, then yeah, why not? There's no reason not to. It's a pretty easy gig. They feed you, you're housed, like, everything's, like, right there for you. There's no reason not to.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, like what was going through your head when you like found out you were actually going to go on the show?
So key reveal, and, like, they put my key in my disc golf bag. I didn't see it forever. They were getting kind of frustrated because I was like, they're like, hey, just show us the discs in your bag. And I was like, oh cool, because, like, at the time I was super into it, so I was like showing them on my discs, and they put the key under the disc. I, like, got through the entire bag and never saw the key, and they were just like, look in the bag. I was like, oh shit. And I pulled it out, and, like, I smiled for a second, and, like, I pointed the key at them, and I was like, I'm not a fucking alternate, am I? And, like, they were like, obviously, like, at first they're like, we can't tell you that anything for sure. But a guy in the back was like putting his thumb up. He's like, yeah, you're good. So then I was like, okay. And I was excited, and I was kind of like losing my shit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but so when you find like the video of you finding your key is like legitimately you finding your key.
Yeah, they don't tell you you're gonna pull your key out.
Wow.
Like, that, or they don't tell you when. Like, watching the show for so long, I knew it was gonna happen at some point. But sometimes, like, when I'm talking, I start to ramble, and, like, I stop paying attention to what's going on around me. So, like, I had no clue the key was in there. And then we shot it again later in the day because they do, like, two different locations, and they shot one with my family where they, like, put it in a bowl of chips. And this time I knew it was there, but no one else, like, my family didn't know. So, like,
Oh.
I it's not a great, like, take. I pulled the key out, and, like, I'm excited, and I start, like, getting excited. And my siblings and my family are just kind of looking at me like, are you okay? I was like, I got the key. And, like, they, like, didn't any response whatsoever. You could tell everyone who was shooting it was like, what the hell are they doing? Are they, like, mannequins? What the hell is this? Just, like, staring at me blank-eyed. And
What were they?
I was
Were
like,
they just like
okay.
confused, or were they just like, okay, cool?
They were just like, yeah, that's cool. We figured as much. We're like, well, you gotta at least look excited.
Oh my gosh, that's actually so funny,
Like,
especially since like your siblings are the ones who wanted you to go.
I know. Well, my oldest sister wasn't there. It was just my two, it was my younger sister and my older brother and one of my friends. But
Oh
yeah.
my gosh. Okay, so you get your key and then are you like leaving for the airport like immediately?
You do like more shooting throughout the day to get your like, so like when they're first playing the show, you see those like takes at the beginning where like people are living their lives. You do all that then, and then you go.
Wow. And then that's it.
And that's it. They take your phone immediately. Like they, the second they showed up, they took my phone.
Oh
They were
my
just like,
gosh.
which
That
wasn't
was
a big
it.
deal because like at the time I like didn't use my phone like at all. It was literally just for calling people and like, hey, I'll meet you here and stuff like that. So that didn't mean anything to me.
Interesting. Did you have like any, you didn't have any social media presence like before going on the show?
I had a Twitter, which I seldomly used, but I didn't have like an Instagram. No, my sister made that while I was on the show.
Wow. That
I
I
know.
love that kind of story. I think that's just so funny to see people like not have anything and then get out and it's like, oh, not only do I have to learn how to use this, I have like thousands of people following me now that I like don't know what do they want from me.
I still haven't learned, man. My Instagram is just dying slowly
Oh my
because I do not
gosh.
nurture it at all.
That's so funny. That is so cool. I think what I love about Big Brother specifically and like other reality competition reality shows like that is that it really is like normal people who just get plucked and like get put on this show. And like it's just interesting to see like you, like normal dude from Chicago area, like just be picked to go on the show. It's just really cool. Like you weren't anyone famous, you weren't an influencer, you were just Scotty.
I know. I like when that happens too. I don't like playing with the or like watching the influencer people.
Yeah,
Like it's
no,
cool to
it's
have
cool.
one or two of them for sure, because like they're kind of a fish out of water, which makes them like funny to see. But when you have a
Yeah.
bunch of people like that is when it gets kind of like clicky, and I don't like that.
No,
I want them to pick
totally.
as many people as possible that are completely different. That way everybody feels like totally out of it.
Yes. No, I completely agree. Okay, so if you had to pick like your ideal all-star season, who are you putting together? Who are your favorite Big Brother players that you want to see like mesh together in the house?
See, I probably wouldn't pick like the ones I like necessarily, because a lot of the ones
Okay.
I like I like Chicken George a lot.
Okay.
But like probably wouldn't put him on another All-Star season because like from a reality TV perspective, I want to see people who like aren't gonna get along. And I want to see people who like are actively gonna try and get each other out. Like I don't want like the split house dynamic is cool because you have two sides going against each other. But if I can get that to a level where it's like four groups or five groups of people who are actively all like against each other, that would be fantastic. Or it's like they're in like a situation where it's like a plethora of targets, and like no matter who you get rid of, you're like, yes,
Oh, that's
like I would
interesting.
like something like that. So like person wise, I couldn't off the like cuff decide.
Okay.
Like I
No,
don't
that's
like
fair.
a lot of players who are like in these big alliances who are like they're pretty good players, but I don't like that they play a game to where like they just kind of attach themselves to a big alliance and like kind of coast it out. I'd rather watch people who are like trying to get shit done or like
Yeah.
who are willing to like make power moves. I want to see like a power move every week.
No, that's, yeah, that's actually really interesting. I feel like we haven't really had a season like that where it's like
No.
multiple groups instead of just like the split one side versus the other. That would be
I mean,
really
you'll get
interesting.
kind of like close to it. Like 18 was like that. Like once you got to six, you had the three duos at the end. And then like Nicole had to like decide which duo to go with, kind of thing. And like they're trying to decide how to split. But if you could do that like on a larger scale from the jump, where like the
Yeah.
different teams by week are allying themselves to other teams, like that would be badass. I would love to see that
Oh, that's
just to see how people
interesting.
navigate it. Like I
Yeah.
want to
And
see people
like,
who like,
no, yeah, keep going.
like people who like they know who they are and what they want in the game, and like no matter what happens around them, that ideology doesn't change, and like they're gonna like try to all bulldoze themselves to the end. I want to see a bunch of people try to bulldoze themselves to the end because they're gonna have to run into each other.
I like that. I like thinking about what that would look like because it is interesting to think about. Like this year, we had like the teams that were like created by the show. Like, I mean, they got to pick people, but they didn't know each other. I want to see sides that are formed based off of like, oh, we get along really well. Here's one bit. We get along really well. We get along really well. And it's like actual, like organically that happens. And then they
That'd be
start
awesome.
going, yeah. Oh, now I'm like,
It's
ooh.
just difficult because, like, at the beginning, you got these people who like try to put their hands in every cookie jar, and like, it's rare they get caught from the jump.
Yeah. Wow. So now that you've played the game, when you think about like strategy, are you ever like, oh, if I went back in, I would do this, or I would think about it this way?
I still think winning, like for the most part, winning is a little bit of a crapshoot. Like you can kind of tell the people who are going to make it far, but like all in all, the crapshoot. So I would probably try to have a little more fun with it. Like when I had power in the house, very briefly, I was like a little bit like, I'm making a move. I think I could have done that more even when I didn't have power and like tried to do more. I was like, I put myself in this like this position where like when I have power, I can make moves. And I didn't like set myself up to make moves when I didn't have power, which is something I would try to do more if I was on again. So I
Yeah.
would, like I said, if I can get fireworks every week, that would be fantastic.
That's so funny. So, okay, you and Rockstar are like pretty good friends. I mean, you're probably better friends with Chris. Is that his name?
I'm
Chris.
friends with both of them, but yeah, I'm a little closer to Chris than I am with Rockstar.
How did that happen? Because you guys were like friendly in the house, but not like you were never like really aligned together. Right.
Well, my relationship with Rockstar is kind of interesting because, like, the first 2.5 or so weeks in the house, I'm not sure I ever really even spoke to Rockstar. Like, I had, like, there was, like, one meeting. It was when Swaggy won that safety thing, which I think I beat him in. But Swaggy won the safety thing. And we're, like, all in the rooms. Like, each group is going in to pitch, like, why they should be safe or whatever. And I'm in the room with my group. It's me, Casey, Haley and Fast, and we're supposed to be pitching why we want to be safe. And Rockstar's in the room. And I just remember I ignored everything everyone said. And I was like looking at her and I was like, why is he in here? I don't understand why. This is so weird. And that was like my only interaction with her the first like 2.5 weeks. And then once I was HOH and she saw I was putting up like Brett and Winston, she was just kind of like, okay, I fuck with this guy. And then we like started talking a lot after that. And
Got
then
it.
like after the show, we did like the Big Brother like cruise thing. And Chris went with her to that. And that's where like I met Chris. And we had like a lot of similarities in our interests. So I started talking to him a lot.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's so, I love seeing people like their friendships blossom like outside of the house because that's where you can kind of be like, oh, you're not lying to me, right? Like what you said, like you are who you are. That's so interesting. Is there anyone else that you're like really close with that you're like, oh, I didn't really expect us to be friends?
That's like an interesting thing about Big Brother is I think it's not always, but a lot of times, people who you don't think would be friends become friends. And people who like you're like, those two should be friends, they're not friends. Like me and Steve, obviously, I don't think a lot of people like watched our like intros and were like, yeah, that old undercover detective and this like geeky little white guy are gonna be like best friends. Because Steve's my favorite person from my cast even to this day, and he's the one I keep up with the most. But then like also for my season, this one kind of blows my mind is going back to Rockstar. I don't see how Rockstar and Rachel aren't friends. They're so similar. It's like their backgrounds are similar. Like besides the fact that one of them has like kids, like match made in heaven. They should be best friends. I'm not sure those two have ever even had a conversation. To my knowledge, I don't know if they've ever talked to each other,
But
but like
maybe
in
they
my brain,
should.
I'm like, these two are so like similar in every aspect. Like the way they talk is similar, the things they like are similar, like what they want to do is similar. It
That's
blows my mind. Like
actually
even the way
so funny.
they think is kind of similar. Like they're both the kind of people who like once they get on an idea, they're kind of just like on like linear. Or like I'm the kind of person where like my brain's always like everywhere to like a limited extent. They're just like whatever they're thinking about, that's what they're thinking about, and nothing else in the world can touch that thought.
Oh
I don't know.
my
It blows my
gosh.
mind that they're not like BFFs.
That is so funny. Well, now I'm like on a mission, matchmaker. get them to
Your
be
rock
best
star and Rachel
friends.
together. It's also weird calling her rock star. Like, I'm falling back in the habit of it because we're talking about my season. But in general, I just call her Angela.
Oh, interesting.
Because
That
I'm
is
pretty sure.
fascinating.
The only reason they called her rock star in the house was because there were two Angelas.
Yeah, it's true. I think that's what she mentioned that to me because she tried to bond with Angela over the fact that they were both Angelas. And
That didn't go so well, did it?
no.
Perception is skin deep.
Yeah, I like don't know her as anything but rock star. Like even like now that we've like kind of formed a friendship, I'm just like, you're rock star and you'll always be rock star. And like if you want to go by Angela, that's too bad. Like I
See, because
can't.
Chris calls her Angela, and like when I'm like around her or talking to her on the phone, like everyone refers to her as Angela. And I even asked her, I think she prefers to be called Angela. So
Well, I'm
like,
sure like when she like if you get a job or something, you're probably like, my name is Angela. Like you write that on the thing, everyone calls you that. You're not gonna be like, oh, by the way, my nickname that sounds nothing like my real name is Rockstar.
well, I mean, even with my name, like in my personal life, people just call me Scott. Nobody like calls me Scotty. I started going by Scotty at work because I was like a guest service manager. Nobody's ever mad at someone named Scotty. When I was Scott, people would yell at me. When I was Scotty, everyone was a lot friendlier. And I was like, all right, I'm just gonna go by Scotty. So like I applied that to like when I applied for Big Brother, I'm like, they're probably gonna think I'm nicer if I go by Scotty. It's like the
Oh
Star
my
Trek thing.
gosh.
Cause like whenever they're mad at him, he's Mr. Scott. Whenever they're happy with him, he's Scotty. And I was like, I'm gonna apply that to my real life and see what happens. And it works.
That's actually hilarious. So in real life now, you're Scott. Like that's.
Like my sister will call me Scotty, but like my friends and like my brother and my parents, they just call me Scott.
Wow. That's actually really funny. Well, I'll call you Scott. No.
Well, I've never been like married to my name. Like growing up, I was always a nickname kid. Everyone always had nicknames for me. Like in grade school, like everyone knew me as Skittles. Most people didn't know my name was even Scott. So like I've never been
Explain
like married to my
Skittles.
name. So like from the south side of Chicago to the suburbs when I was like a little kid, and like I started going to a new school, and like when I got there, they did this art project where like they made a gigantic rainbow and like they glued Skittles to it, and it was in the hallway, and we were just like sitting, like waiting, like we couldn't go outside for recess, and like I was just eating the Skittles off of there. I was just picking them off, eating them, gluing everything. So I was just like, so I have like this tick where like if I'm bored and I have nothing to do, I feel like I need to be chewing something. It's like it's hard to have a diet like that, and I'm still like that to this day. So like I was just eating Skittles off the paper, and everyone just started calling me Skittles.
That is actually hilarious. Skittles. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I like that better than Scott or Scotty. So,
It just keeps getting better.
oh my gosh, that's actually so funny. So what were you doing? Like, okay, this is my question for a lot of people because when you go on this show, like, you have to quit your job, you have to like, go for however many months. When you get the call, well, obviously you were just saying like you get your key and you leave. So do you already have to be prepped and like tell your job you're leaving and all of that stuff before you even know if you're going on the show?
I got very lucky with this because the place I was working, it was a skateboard shop, and I was like the logistics manager. Their store had done a reality show. It was like one of those ones where, what the heck's the guy's name? The guy from Shark Tank, Marcus something. He like came to their business because it was dying. They do a reality show where they make it thrive again.
Oh my
I was working in a
gosh.
place like that. So the bosses and the managers, they completely understood the NDA thing and everything. They understood it way better than I did. So they were totally on board with it, and they were just like I didn't have any problem going to them and like trusting them. So they knew well more than a week in advance
Cool.
that like I was like I don't know what's going to happen. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. We totally understand it. We totally went through this process. And I also found out
Wow.
that week that one of the owners was like a distant cousin of mine too. It was weird as hell. So like it kind of all worked out.
Oh, that is really, really cool. Okay, so that is a nice way to like be able to go about it. So when you got out of the house or you left, the show ends. Did you go back and work there, or were you like, oh, I have kind of this new world of opportunity. I'm going to try something else.
I didn't go back. It was weird. I went back there and I didn't like ask for my job back, but they were kind of just like, you're probably on to bigger and better things. And I was like, I don't want to correct them. I'm just gonna leave now, I guess. But like, I talked with them for a while, and like the guy who was my manager, the guy's name is Cody. He was just like, you lost because you're an arrogant POS. And I was like, okay. He's like, you're a little bit of a know-it-all too. And I was like, I know that. And then they were talking about the career thing, and they were just kind of like, yeah, you're probably on to bigger and better things. And I was like, okay, I don't want to let them down. So after
Oh
that, I know. So I moved to Arizona with one of my buddies, and I'd worked at AMC movie theaters before. So I just started working there again. And that's kind of what I still do. I'm kind of over it though. I got to find something else. I'm not
what do
good at
you
the
want to
whole,
do?
that's the thing, is I have no idea. I've never understood that. Like the people who are like little kids and they're like, I want to be a firefighter, or I want to be. My brother did this with accountant. My brother, since he was a little kid, wanted to be an accountant, which is so weird to me. What a dumb thing to be like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And he stuck to it. I don't understand how people are like that. I'm too like, my brain works in like too small of increments. And like, I'm always, I don't know if it's ADHD, I don't know what it is, but like, I'm always changing my mind about everything to like really decide what I want to do.
I feel that. I totally relate to that actually. Like everything I want to do is sort of in the same like category, but I change it all the time. And I can't just like I would probably be farther in my career had I just decided at 16 like this is what I'm gonna do
I
and
know that would
like
be
done
awesome,
it.
wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice?
I know, but like instead you're like, like you get pretty good at something and then you like kind of do something else a little bit. You're like, you know what? I like that more. I'm gonna do this now. And then like you completely abandon the thing you're already good at and you learn something new. And then you just keep repeating that process till you're pretty good at everything, but not great at anything.
No, that's literally what I tell people. I'm like, I'm okay at a lot of things. Like, if you need something, like, I'm pretty good at this and I can do this for you and I could probably try this for you, but I'm not the best at any of them. Like, you could find someone who actually is the best at this thing and they could do it for you, but I'm pretty good at a lot of different things if you're interested in that, if that is appealing to anyone.
I know it's not easy because then you're like, what's my real skill set? What can I like do better than everyone else? I can
No,
do everything
totally.
better than most people, but I can't do like anything better than everyone. No, it's a
That's
difficult life.
so true. So, are you still in Arizona?
No, I moved back to Illinois when COVID started. My dad
Yeah.
caught COVID, and like I was like, I don't like want to, because we didn't know what it was. So
Right.
I didn't like want to keep living my life, and like if everyone started dying, I was like, I don't want to not see my like friends and family. So I moved back here, and I've pretty much been back here since like COVID's been started.
Wow. So, do you have any plans? Like, I mean, I know you don't know what you want to do, which I think a lot of people fall in that boat. But do you have any idea in like 2022, like something you want to try, or maybe you want to move, or are you cool in Chicago?
Man, I like Chicago a lot, but like the winter months are like tough.
Yeah.
Like this is the time of year where like it like when it's sunny outside, I lose tons of weight. I'm super healthy. Everything goes fantastic. I feel great. I feel like I do anything. And then the sun goes away. There's no vitamin D. You get Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, my birthday, and you're just eating all this crap all the time. And then you just find yourself in this position where you're like, wow, I got to start getting in shape again. And it's just
Just
this
a
nonstop
cycle.
cycle over and over. For like the year or whatever I was in Arizona, it was like warm the entire time. I was like really, really healthy for that whole year.
I totally feel that. We moved to LA from Portland, Oregon, which I feel like we don't have the snow or the wind that you do, but we definitely have the like cloud. Like it's just like permanent cloud from like October to May, where it's like the sun is not shining. At
One of
all.
my best friends, he lived in Oregon. He like moved there to like follow a girl, and he lived there for like almost 2 years. And he was saying the same kind of thing. He would not shut up about how beautiful it is. And like, he lived a little bit south though. I think he was in a place called like, it was like Eugene, Oregon or something like that. And he like would not shut up about these sea lions every day with the sea lions, man. He'd be like, you should see these sea lions. We'd be like, we get it. There are sea lions in Oregon. He's like, no, you haven't seen them though. And he brags about the terrain and stuff. And like, he got into photography because he loved the terrain. But yeah, he said the same
it
kind
is
of thing.
Where beautiful, like, but it is like, yeah, truly just like cloudy, rainy for like 8 months a year. And that's like way too long if you're trying to like maintain any sort of like mental health situation.
I know,
like,
it's depressing.
So bad. I don't know how people like haven't just like fully migrated from that area because it's so sad, but I guess some people like it. I don't know. I can't relate to that, but yeah, we love, like, we're in LA now and we love the weather. I could imagine Arizona is like very similar. Yeah.
But you like living in LA? Because my limited experience in LA, I'm not a big fan of it.
You know, a lot of people aren't. I love LA. I love living here. I love everything about it. Like, truly, it's so weird. And I don't know if I'm just like this unicorn who like really likes it here, but I have loved every minute that we've been here. We live in a really good spot where we're not really in traffic too much. We were actually just in Portland this weekend and I was like, oh my God, traffic here is terrible. And everyone was like, you
got
in LA.
LASIK, didn't you?
I got LASIK. Yes. I got LASIK 3 months ago and I had to go back for my like post-op appointment and my eyes are good. I can see. It's fantastic. But it's traffic is horrible in Portland and I've not experienced traffic like that in LA at all since we've moved. So I don't know, but
you recently moved to LA?
Yeah, we moved literally a week after I got LASIK. So almost 3 months ago. yeah, it was, that was crazy. I got LASIK and then literally 1 week later, I did my 1 week post-op and then we left. But I really like it here. I don't know. I like the energy. People are really, and I think that's maybe because I was in Portland, where people are just like really motivated to do stuff because it's maybe sunnier and they get vitamin D and all of that kind of stuff.
I felt the opposite.
Really?
I was only in LA for like a couple of days, but like when I walk around Venice Beach and stuff, there were a lot of sad looking people. I was just kind of like, all right, they're all miserable. Like, and
well,
I would
that's
try to
probably
talk to people
true.
And they're just kind of like, they don't want anything to do with you.
I think we've gotten lucky. We had a couple friends here already. But like I work out at this gym where I could imagine a lot of people feel that way because they're like, there's a lot of pressure to like live up to whatever this LA standard is or whatever people create in their minds. And if I was sucked into that, I think I would feel also depressed because you can never meet it. Like you can't ever.
No, it's impossible.
So you're just spinning on this hamster wheel, trying to like get somewhere. And I think that could probably be really soul sucking for people, but I don't feel that way. And the people I know don't feel that way. And I think for them, it's like, at least being around like other people who podcast or other people who are interested in whatever, it's like, oh, that's so cool to be around that. I think Swaggy actually posted something about this that was really interesting to me, where he was like, oh, I had friends messaging me saying that like me hustling and working hard was like annoying to them. And to me, I'm like, oh, that's super motivating for me to like see my friends like working really hard towards something, even if I don't know what I'm working hard towards, it's like, oh, that's super inspiring to like work hard on something or figure something out or whatever. And I think that's why I like LA, because it's like, I'm around people who are like really motivated to like have their thing take off or work on this or do this. And me coming from Portland with like no motivation was like, oh, that's actually really inspiring. Like I'm going to start working on something or I'm going to do this. And so I think that's why I like it. And so maybe that will wear off. I don't know.
It definitely helps that you like found people with like similar interests and stuff. I was just like trying to talk to random strangers and they were just like, get out of my face. Like, okay.
I can definitely see that. And it's, yeah, again, we got really lucky. There's definitely parts of LA, like the beaches or wherever, where people are just like in a totally different world. And you're like, wow, we are not we're not living on the same earth. Like, you are just like over there and I'm like way over here. And it's like such a disconnect. And that's the thing I've noticed that is a little bit strange is like, even just like, I grew up in West Virginia where like,
it's pretty coast to coast.
Yeah. It's pretty consistently like, everyone's like essentially like lower middle class. There isn't really a wage gap there. There's no billionaires. Like maybe a couple people have a couple million dollars, but there's not that. In LA, it's like totally both ends of the spectrum. It's so bizarre to live in a place like that coming from like where I came from. So it's like very weird to see that as well. Like people just truly living like completely different lives from each other, like a block away from each other.
That's how it is like in the suburbs too, in like Chicago. Everyone's like that lower middle class.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I can't imagine. We were just watching Home Alone. I was like,
oh, I love that.
What a fat house. Like that in Chicago has got to be so expensive.
Oh my God. I couldn't even imagine how much that is now.
Like the fact that I think about that as an adult, when I watched that movie as a child, I'm of course like, oh, whatever. I don't even care about the house. But now I'm like, oh, I wonder how they afford the house.
I don't know exactly where that house is located, but like the price discrepancy, like once you get into the suburbs is crazy. Cause like there's Naperville, which is like 15, 20 miles north of me. And like the cheapest houses there are like 800K. We're like, and then down here where I'm at, you can easily get like a house for like 175.
Really? I never pegged Chicago area as being like affordable.
I mean in the shitty areas, yeah, it's affordable. it depends where you go. Like Naperville, like you got to have like a nice job to live in Naperville. But like it depends completely where you're at. Like there are like awesome areas and there's like really crappy areas. It's like anywhere, it depends where you go. It's wherever they're putting the money.
It's true. Oh, that could be a whole nother podcast. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So what are you doing right now for work?
Still at AMC.
Okay.
I'm trying to be done with it. I'm trying so hard to be done with it.
Got it. What would be your like goal next?
Any job that pays more and I don't have to work on the weekends.
Got it. So you're okay with trying anything. You just want to try something new.
Yeah. But I mean, that's also like, I think one of my big problems is like, you can't hit something unless you're aiming for something. Like where I'm just kind of like throwing my dart wherever. I'm not like aiming for anything in particular.
Well, let's play this out. What do you like? What are you interested in? Like even not like to do for money, just like what are some of your big interests?
I like talking to people a lot. I'm a big talker.
All right. Like so start a podcast.
I thought about that when I first got off the show, but like, I like took a step back. Like I'll do this a lot where I take a step back, like out of my body and I look at myself. And I'm like, do we really need like another white dude with a podcast?
I think like, with the right topic, maybe you're,
I would talk about like, like I said, it would be the same problem where there is no aim. It would just be everything. I did like a podcast before the show with a couple of my like improv friends. It was awful. I literally had to hijack the podcast. Like we did, like made a bunch of bets. Where like whoever was the winner like got control of the podcast and I worked my ass off to win and like I just deleted it. I destroyed the whole thing. It was so bad.
Oh my gosh. That's so like sad. I think you should try again.
It was supposed to be like, to my knowledge, a sports podcast. So like first episode, I did a shit ton of research. I came in with notes about like everything. And then I got there and everyone else was just like kind of bullshitting. I was like, well, fuck me. And then like the next time, like the topic was like movies. And this one dude was like, I hate that the movie industry, they just kind of keep spitting out the same things that have already been done. And then like 10 minutes later, he was like, I really like, I think the movie is called Disaster Movie, the remake of The Room, where it's almost a shot by shot remake of that movie. And my head imploded. And I was like, you just said you hate remakes, but now your like favorite movie is a shot by shot remake of another movie. And I like imploded.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, you could, with your expertise, you could do like a movie review podcast.
Most people be like, he doesn't like anything. Cause I'm like,
that's kind of funny.
I'm a critical person. And I think people will take that like as almost like negative or pessimistic, but like think that like objecting to something makes you negative. And I think that's like a common misconception. Like if I disagree with something, I don't think that makes it negative. That's I think fair. A lot of people believe that like, oh, if you're not for everything that I do and agree with everything I say, then you're not a positive light in my life. Or like, if I don't agree with something, like I love contrast because you sucked up to me. You said I was funny, but contrast is where humor is. And I love being funny as much as anything else. So like I live for the contrast.
I mean, I think you're hilarious. Like if you did stand up, I would pay money to go like 100%. Maybe that's your thing.
Stand up.
Yeah. I mean, with stand up, you don't really have to have a thing because you can talk about whatever you want. And so it can change over time or with the day. Just you have to be funny every time. And I think you could accomplish at least that.
There are people saying online that I've done stand up before, but I've never done it. I've done improv. And improv, that's literally just bullshitting. I that's why I like it. You just get on stage and you bullshit.
Well, maybe we found your thing.
Doing stand up? Oh man, that would be. That's another one of those things where I got to take a step back and be like, another white dude in his 30s. I'm not 30 yet, but I'm close. Doing stand up. That's like almost, that's like a trope that I would be stepping into. I just got to be a little funnier and on SNL and I'm there.
Done. I mean, you're in Chicago. If you take one more improv class, you're basically like everyone else who's ever been on SNL.
I haven't done any improv since before Big Brother.
That wasn't that long ago.
2018.
I'm gassing you up. Let's go.
I know. I'm like the worst person to gas up. You can ask like anybody. I will like find a way to like put a lid on it. I don't like letting things get like out of proportion.
I'm just going to start tweeting all day that you're doing stand up until like you have to, or everyone will be mad that you're not doing it.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know. Like that means I'd have to like write stuff and like be creative. I think that's totally your thing. Oh, yeah, like going back to Big Brother, like there'll be times where like I'll think about stuff I said and be like, that was fucking funny. And like, it'll make me laugh, or like I'll see a meme and I'll be like, I don't remember saying or doing it. I'm like, that's good. I'm glad I came up with that.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. I mean, there you go. It's no longer a Big Brother podcast. It's like a come with your problem and I will help you solve it podcast.
Anyone else's problems yet? Am I the first? Am I the first problem?
You're the first. But yeah,
okay, good.
I mean, I would imagine if you've ever been on a reality TV show, you've got a lot of problems and I am now here to solve them.
You could just like trap everybody in, be like, yeah, we'll talk about your time on Big Brother. And then like they come in, you're like, okay, let's figure out what's wrong with your life. Let's see what got you onto a reality show. And we're going to fix it for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's a market that's missing. Cause like for the most part, I stay away from like the Big Brother podcast. Like I don't talk about Big Brother that much at all. So I was in the house with right after I like didn't talk about it at all. Like usually I'm just kind of like, I messed up. And then like, I'll be like, that'll be the it. I don't know. Cause like when it's with people who were on the show with me, it's kind of like the same thing over and over where it's kind of like, they want to explain why they didn't want to work with me, or like, it's some kind of weird explanation like that, or an apology. Which one, I don't believe in apologies unless they're like true. I think a lot of people apologize just because like they don't want to feel like they're not liked. And they think by apologizing that if I don't accept it, that makes me the asshole. I feel like that's like a common like thing that people totally do. So I won't apologize unless I like really mean it. And I won't accept an apology unless I think it's like real. And two, like they'll try to, this is the big one. It's like 90% of it is like, they'll try to explain why it didn't work with me. I just don't, like, I don't care. It's like the fact like you didn't want to work with me doesn't change anything in my life now. So like,
I mean, you could have $500,000 if they wanted to work with you, I guess.
But yeah, but like that doesn't, I don't get the $500,000 now for them saying they should have worked with me.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
then fair. When I talk to people who were players and not on my season, I'll usually, like I said, do the same kind of thing where I kind of like dodge it. And I think that's like because like everyone will kind of give their opinion. And it's not that I don't care about it. It's the same kind of thing where it doesn't like
change. It doesn't change
like,
it.
I don't like I don't have a response for it.
No, that's interesting.
What they want me to say.
Did you have any like, I mean, it sounds weird to say trauma, but were you like having any like weird like mental health issues post Big Brother? Like, was that an issue for you?
No, I literally just like slid like right back into my life. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people who have like the mental stuff, that's 99% from social media creates that for them. Like yeah. When they're first out of the house, everyone's kind of getting along and then they read what people are saying. I didn't really get hit that hard. The only people online who don't really like me are showmans. Besides that, nobody seems to have a problem with me. And the people that make jokes like about me, if they're funny, I also laugh at them and I'll like add to the joke. So like, I'm not like, that kind of stuff doesn't stick to me. I'm not like an easy target for that kind of stuff because a lot of times I also think it's funny.
Which is a great quality for a stand-up comedian. I don't know. Somebody I'm just saying. Just
rip themselves to shreds.
Wow. No, but that's actually really good perspective. I think I've seen that a lot with the people that I've interviewed. It really is. It's not the relationships with the people in the house that become traumatizing post the show. It's the reactions. It's the posts on social media. It's going back and reading what people were saying when you did something in the house or made a move or put someone on the block or whatever that can really impact people's
mental
health.
It's like the same hamster wheel you were talking about earlier. Like there's like this like mental image of themselves that they think that they need to be able to hit.
Yeah.
It's you can't hit it. Like I'm just okay knowing that I'll never like it's an unrealistic thing. I'm fine just living down here.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I think that's good perspective. I think it's, and that's part of like, I mean, your personality, I think renders this perspective as well, but having that and being like a normal person, kind of going back to your normal life, like you said, you weren't trying to like grow a following, get famous, have a bunch of people like you. You were just like, this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be. And I'm going to go back to my normal life. And I think that helped you not be so in your head about all the other stuff that comes with being on not only a reality TV show, but a reality TV show that has like kind of a crazy fan base. Like I've never seen anyone so into a show like I have the Big Brother fan base.
I just realized this, but in the top corner, there's like a picture of like a silhouette. Am I not on your screen?
Oh no, I can't see you.
Holy cow. This whole time I thought I was on that screen. Press okay. There it is.
There he
Holy
is.
Cow. That's crazy. Just like when I thought I messaged you back on Twitter, where I was
that
just
was
like, wow,
funny.
Ignoring the hell out of me.
I was like, okay, so I have a friend who like has a really good pulse on people who are on the show who respond to people on Twitter. And so I reach out to her every time I'm like, okay, I'm ready to like start interviewing more people. Who should I reach out to? Who's going to respond to me? Cause I don't want to look like an idiot, you know, like messaging all these people. And so you were on the list and I was like,
yeah,
perfect. I'm going to tweet at him. He's going to respond. It's going to be so fun. And then I got nothing. And I was like, cool. This is fantastic. He hates me. I've already talked to all of his friends and I'm still getting nothing.
I like thought I sent it and I was from the opposite. I was like, wow. She like asked me to be on her podcast and I was like, you know what? He said, yeah, or he's too obtainable. Don't want him. Get rid of this guy. I was like, oh my gosh, savage. And then I saw my, drafts. I was like, oh, there were a couple tweets I did not send out that I thought I sent out. Some of them were for the better. I maybe shouldn't have sent them out.
No, it's fine. It's actually so, I thought that was, I made it even funnier because I was like, you're so funny. And then I was like, and this is hilarious.
Literally everything I touch is a mess. Everything. My alliance was a mess. Every event that I try to do after the show has been a mess. Everything about me, even like my audition stuff was a mess. Like my time in finals was a mess. They were like, don't talk to anyone. I talked to everyone. literally, they're on the phone. They said, do not, just get your card key, go to your room, and then only talk when you're called. I walked in the door. Some guy liked my shirt. I started talking to this guy about wrestling for like 20 minutes. And then I was like, oh, shit, don't talk to this guy. And I talked to people I was in line with. And then I talked to the lady giving the card. Like, you could tell she was told not to talk to me. But I was like talking to her for 5 minutes. Went up to my room. Then you go to lunch just to talk to anybody. I sat next to some old couple and I was talking to them. I talked to like everybody. And then I got locked out of my room. They gave me the card key for the wrong room. So like I go to my door and I'm like putting the card key in and it's like declining it. And I'm like, I gotta be at the wrong room. So like I start trying it in other doors. And like, this is probably like part of their test. This is like a psychological test they're putting me through. And so I gotta figure this out. So like I spent like half an hour trying to figure out this door. And eventually I'm like, screw it. And like I went down to the main office and I was talking to the concierge forever. And I called them and I was like, hey, I'm locked out of my room. And they're like, oh crap, we're sorry about that. And I was like, oh good, it wasn't a test. Crap.
Oh, everything my about gosh. It was mess. Did you see anyone who ended up on the show with you during your final interview?
Yeah, I saw. So like two final interview kind of things. The first one, like when I'm in the hotel, the only two people I saw were Caitlin and Haley. And I don't think I ever told Caitlin this, but like, instead of taking the personality test the first like half an hour, I like drew a notepad and like I gave everybody in the room labels and I like decided what I thought their lives were. And like Caitlin was the one first one I put a square and I was like, doesn't matter, she's not getting on the show. And that's what I told them. Cause like I was like reading through and I was like, this one, it doesn't matter, she's not getting on the show. And then with Haley, like she, cause you can tell who else is applying, like you're eating and stuff, because like keep them alone. There was one guy who like was terrified of children. He was like swimming in the pool and like these kids kept trying to swim up to him and he would just like swim away as fast as he could. And like, he was like, you could tell he wanted to be in the pool, but he was like all the way in the corner of the pool trying to avoid these kids, which I thought was really funny. Haley like didn't finish any of her food or drinks. She would get like this big plate of food and like three drinks and not finish any of them. It'd be like two sips of milk, two sips of orange juice, take a sip of her coffee, eat like two bites of all of her food. And then like, go. And I remember having the thought where I was like, if she's on, don't work with her because she can't finish anything. And then I got on the show and completely forgot about that. And then in my like final interview, Haley and Caitlin were there, Swaggy, JC, and I think that's all the people that got on that were in that room with me.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think it's everyone, yeah. But yeah, my entire, it was a mess. And I would like talk to the PA people like crazy. Like they would like.
Not supposed to do that.
Like even when you're like locked in the rooms for like 6 or whatever hours, most people, they would tell me like, they'd give them the DVD player and that person would watch a movie. I would not shut up for 6 hours and just talk to them and like learn everything about their lives in that 6 hours. And like even there were a couple of them where I could kind of tell where they're just like, this guy does not shut up. Which I'm the complete opposite. If I'm in a big group of people, I'm the complete opposite. I just like, I'm like really quiet. I like, I'll sit down, I'll stay in the back. But like, but not if that. If I'm like one-on-one with someone or like a group of four max, I like will talk your ear off. But like, if I'm in a gigantic group, I'm just like, you like wouldn't even know I was there.
That is actually so funny.
Yeah, my everything about me and that experience is a mess.
But I think your like sense of humor probably made it a lot healthier than a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm literally to the point, like I probably got to this point when I was like 15, where like every time something like that happened, I was like, I took a risk. Oh well, we're kind of used to it. And that's kind of like how I fumble through the years.
I love, that's so funny. So you're 29 now.
30 next month.
Oh my gosh. Are you nervous?
My hair is all going to fall out. I'm going to start getting wrinkly.
Immediately. The day you turn 30, that happens.
I know. That's like a legit thing in my friend group too. I have two friends who like, one of them turned 30, poof, gone. And the other one like this came in thicker and his hair's like pushed back pretty far. And like, I already don't have the world's strongest hairline. It's like, I call it the Mach 5 because it like, it comes in like the front of Speed Racer's car. So like, hopefully that just doesn't just go away. Like, hopefully I don't turn 30 and just go.
Oh my gosh.
And my dad is like bald too. So
you have like no hope.
Well, they say like genetically that a guy's hairline matches his maternal grandfather, and my maternal grandfather isn't bald. So I'm holding on to hope because on my dad's side, he's bald. His dad was bald. We're pretty sure his dad was bald. So I'm hoping we're all leaning on my mom's side. Hopefully I keep that hairline.
Oh, fingers crossed. I want like a full update on your birthday. If you are bald, if you wake up bald.
I was thinking about for like my friends, just like shaving it and like just showing up to wherever we're like hanging out for my birthday. I mean, like, guys, I'm like acting like I have like my hat on because I'm like, I'm scared. And then like take it off and be like, guys, it happened.
See, I think that would be funny. Funny. You're funny.
I know, but do I have the guts to go through with it? Cause I got to do that boxing.
You were thing. On Big Brother.
And you like, you don't really, if you want to ignore the fact that you're on a show, it's super easy. Like you're just like living in a house and occasionally they wake you up and they talk to you for a couple hours in a room that's way too cold. And then you just go back to bed and then you just live your life. You can easily ignore it if you don't constantly think about it. I probably went like, cause I was a have not for 2 weeks in a row. And in that 2 weeks, I was just like, so zoned out that I was completely unaware I was on a show.
Oh my God.
I was just like, eat when you can, go to sleep when you can, just live your life. Don't pay too much attention to anything. It'll make you miserable.
Oh my God. I mean, again, though, I think that like, if I were ever on the show, I would be like trying to have the same mentality as you because that's the healthiest thing you could do for yourself.
Yeah. I think it's like healthier to like, not think about the fact that you're on a show. Cause one, you don't like act up and like make yourself look dumb. Cause that's kind of, I think another reason like social media wise, I didn't get hit too hard is I didn't like really say or do anything to like step on besides like my eviction speech that some people, a lot of people love, some people hate.
I will say when you Google you type in Scotty Big Brother and the next thing that pops up is eviction speech.
That's fantastic. I love that. I had a hard time getting through that speech because I was like trying not to laugh.
I was trying to pull photos of you for this. And I was like, Scotty, Big Brother, eviction speech.
I was speaking kind of fast when I said it. Cause like, if I would have like taken my time and let it breathe, I would have laughed my ass off, which just would have ruined everything.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for doing this because like you said, you don't really talk a lot about this. So I appreciate you going down memory lane with me because I am fully enjoying it. It's just so funny. You were the perfect person to talk to.
Oh my gosh. Perfect person. See, that's the kind of stuff. Like, I don't know how to like physically, this is like a weakness in the game too, because people say stuff like this to you. I don't know how to like accept that. I'm like, the second you said that, my brain is like deflect, deflect, deflect. People don't like deflections. It makes them seem like they don't like trust you. Like in a game like that, if you deflect everything they say, which I deflect everything everyone says. That's just a realization I had right now too. So like you're helping people again.
Yeah, you're, I'm like, here to help. Mm-hmm. So we'll do another session in 6 months.
You haven't gotten any better. You're kind of the same.
Still an AMC.
And yeah, right. I'll be like, oh, that's what I've been saying the last 10 years. Yeah, I'm gonna do something else now. I'm gonna go into something else. That'll be me 100%. Because you actually, I was trying to say before, you talked to a psychologist too in finals. So I've talked to a psychologist, which did not go the way I planned either. I thought I was being like a menace. I was like, this lady's gonna think I'm insane. And I was just talking my ass off and like my entire life, I just spilled it all out for her. And this exact kind of energy, except I was like more violent with the hand motions. And I finished. I was like, man, this lady is going to think I'm insane. And she like stopped. She was like looking at her computer. She goes, I'm not like allowed to do this, but I'm going to actually tell you kind of what I think of you. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to kick me off. I'm going to like not make the show because of this. She's like, you're just adorable. And like everything inside of me looks like stank. Like My face like froze for I don't know how long. It felt like an eternity. And I was just like, what?
Oh.
What did you say? He's like, yeah, this is just really cute. And I was like, I would never, like, I went back to my room, just like sat in a chair for like half an hour. And was like, what just happened to me?
Oh my God.
Didn't understand it at all. I thought I was like dropping bombs and like being badass. And like, this person's gonna be like, what a crazy life this guy has led. But no, I got cute and adorable energy. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm literally just like, it's like an evil, like soft teddy bear who's like trying to be evil, but like he's just plush, so he can't do anything bad. That was like the energy I had in that moment. I'm like, oh my God.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, this was like the best time. I know you don't want to hear that, but I had a wonderful time.
I had a good time too.
I really appreciate you taking the time for real. I'm glad we can make this work and that you responded to me on Twitter because I was a little sad.
Glad you responded to me.
I'm just, this was super fun. I had a blast. I hope you had fun.
I did too. Thank you. I did.
On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.